The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Now it's time to think and discern. This is Bob Burney Live.
And welcome to the 5 o'clock hour of Bob Burney Live. Or if I am to believe the clock in our studio, it is now 11:52 and 50 seconds. I have no idea whether that's AM or PM. Needless to say, we need a new clock in the studio. Anyway, it's almost 7 minutes after the top of the hour, and I welcome you to the 5 o'clock, not the... according to that clock, we're only 7 minutes away from midnight. Or maybe noon. I don't know. So anyway, welcome. Delighted to have you along this afternoon on this New Year's Eve. Thank you for joining me. My telephone number is 877-BOB-LIVE. And it's not Friday, but hey, we'll open the phones because it's Mark in Columbus. If it was anybody else, I wouldn't accept phone calls. But since it's you, Mark, I'm going to accept your phone call. How are you today?
I don't know, but after today, you might not, because is it the 5 o'clock or the 6 o'clock hour, man?
This
commercials to get over.
It's the same every day. We haven't changed.
I just got places to go, you know, people to see.
Yeah, I know, things to do. I know. All right, what's on your mind?
Well, I was listening to a fellow today talk about Melchizedek a little bit. And
What are you doing listening to somebody else? I'm offended. I'm deeply hurt.
Well, see, now that's why I had to run it by you. the venerable old scholar that you are, I just had to wait and then
right,
I could run it by you.
All right, easy on the old stuff. I don't mind the scholar stuff, but easy on the old stuff. All right, Melchizedek.
My mind is blown because, you know, surely I've read over that. But when I say read over it, I often read over it without a Bible reference or exposition.
Yeah.
And so I didn't ever have any idea just who this fellow might have been, you know, and where Salem is equated to Jerusalem, and Melchizedek was a king of Salem and might have been a... an incarnation of Jesus.
Yeah,
some people think
it is my opinion. And Mark, we can't be positive on this. This is one thing that I have a definite opinion on, but I wouldn't fight with anybody on it. But here is my, I think, reasonable opinion: is that Melchizedek was a Christophany, which is the technical term for a pre-incarnate appearance of Christ.
Wow.
We can be pretty sure that one of the angels that appeared to Abraham was a Christophany, which was a bodily appearance of Christ in the flesh before the story in Bethlehem. And I think this is another one. Scripture says that he had no mother, he had no father. Abraham paid tithes to him. He was the king of Salem, and yet there's no other mention of him in scripture or in history. So again, I wouldn't fight with anybody over it, but I became convinced years ago that this was an appearance of Jesus in the flesh in Old Testament times to teach Abraham and therefore all of us an important lesson. So that's my opinion, and people have hotly debated this for centuries.
Sure. Well, that just gives me chills, Bob, to think that Very well could be. I mean, that is really something.
Well,
thank God we still have to find out things from the Bible that we didn't yet know, that I didn't yet know, you know. And
Listen, Mark, I don't claim to be a scholar, and I'm really not. I don't claim to be above average intelligence, because I'm not. But I have been actively studying the Bible for over 50 years. And, Mark, I'm constantly finding things I've never seen before.
Yeah.
And that's one of the most exciting things about the study of God's Word. It is infinite. And if we study it the rest of our lives, we will constantly find new things we have never seen before. It's like this thing, and I don't know whether you were listening before Christmas, but this thing about the Tower of Migdal, or the Tower of the Flock in Bethlehem. I've heard the Christmas story over and over and over again, and it was not until about 2 years ago I came across this thing that, you know, why was Jesus born in Bethlehem? Well, he had to be of the house and lineage of David. We know that. David was from Bethlehem. But there was another reason. Bethlehem was the place where the sheep were grown, were raised for the temple sacrifices, particularly the Passover. And there was a certain place in Bethlehem, and we know this is historically true, that was called the Tower of the Flock, and it's mentioned in the book of Micah, is later called the Tower of Migdal, and it was the place where the pregnant lambs, sheep, were brought to give birth to the sacrificial lambs, and they were treated carefully. They were treated differently from other sheep, and they were literally born to be sacrificed. They were born to die, so they were wrapped in swaddling clothes in this stable. And we can be almost certain that's where Jesus was born, and that's why the shepherds didn't ask, well, where is this manger, you know?
Oh, yeah.
They knew. Okay. They knew where the baby was going to be born, because they knew the prophecies. They knew Isaiah 53, and they knew why that baby was born there, and they knew why the baby was wrapped in swaddling clothes. Mark, I never saw that until about 2 years ago. And when I did, this Baptist just about went Pentecostal, you know, but that is the wonder of studying God's Word. We are constantly finding new things. Yeah, it does. It does. It does. It does.
Good talking to you, brother.
Hey, you as well. Like I said, I can't be certain, but I believe Melchizedek was a Christophany, and I wouldn't argue with anybody, but I'm convinced that that was Jesus in the flesh appearing to Abraham.
Well, thank you very much, and I'll talk to you next year.
All right. Happy New Year. All right. Yes, God bless you.
Bye.
There is nothing more exciting than studying God's Word. You know, people ask me all the time, what's the unpardonable sin? And the unpardonable sin is teaching the Bible in a boring way. I'm kidding. Well, not totally. It's this incredible book that's the breath of God. And that's why anybody who has the opportunity to teach God's Word, hey, listen, you're on holy ground when you have the privilege of sharing God's Word with somebody else. You are on holy ground. All right, we need to take a quick break, and we'll continue on this New Year's Eve edition of Bob Burney Live.
Today's news, God's Word, and your thoughts. This is Bob Burney Live.
And it's been quite a while since I've reported on any of the scandal within the Catholic Church concerning the abuse of children, particularly little boys. But it is boiling up again, not just in the United States, but around the world. And I want to make it clear, the Catholic Church is not completely unique. One of the major Texas newspapers about a year ago released a major expose on the Southern Baptist Convention. And sadly, tragically, there were a whole bunch of churches within the Southern Baptist Convention that had covered up sexual abuse within the church, pastors, youth pastors, and so forth. Fortunately, the Southern Baptist Convention has dealt with it very, very forcefully and in a very straightforward manner. But almost all denominations have faced some problems. However, the Catholic Church, being the largest, has certainly had the largest problem. And then you add to this the overwhelming majority of the abuse within the Catholic Church has been done by homosexual priests. Now, that's just a fact, maybe an uncomfortable fact. It's not reported often, but it is true. The overwhelming majority of the abuse has been towards little boys, and it has occurred by homosexual priests. Add to that the statistics are all over the place, but a conservative estimate is about 50% of all priests have homosexual tendencies. That, again, is conservative estimates within the church. 50% of Catholic priests have homosexual tendencies. So you have a recipe for disaster. You do. And again, I don't want to be overly critical, but there is not a shred of biblical evidence for the celibacy of priests. There's nothing scriptural about that. It is pure tradition. In fact, you have an abundant amount of evidence to the contrary. A bishop is to be the husband of one wife. That's one of the requirements of a spiritual leader, a pastor, a bishop. An elder is to be the husband of one wife. So this whole thing of the celibacy of the priest is a completely unbiblical principle that comes not from Scripture, but from the tradition of the church. And as I said, it's a recipe for disaster. Now, I said all that because this is something current. This just came out. This is Associated Press, I think. Since the 2018 release of a grand jury report on Catholic clergy sexual abuse, the dioceses of Pennsylvania have paid $84 million to 564 victims. By the way, since this scandal broke out in the mid-1980s, the American Catholic Church alone has paid out over $1 billion. And that's just the American church. Pennsylvania, the dioceses of Pennsylvania have paid $84 million to 564 victims, according to the Associated Press. That compensation amount is expected to climb dramatically as the diocese worked through a backlog of claims. After the report was released showing that more than 1,000 minors allegedly were sexually molested by some 30 clergy, 7 of the 8 Catholic dioceses of Pennsylvania have set up victim compensation funds. The deadline for filing a claim was September 30th of this year. Quote, the funds are used to pay victims who can demonstrate that they were abused. The allegations must be credible. Although the money is designed to provide a measure of justice and compensation to the victims, some legal experts claim the church is getting off easy because the payments on average are smaller than what a victim could win in a jury trial. The average payout so far per individual is $148,000. That's the average payout to abuse victims. And again, this is only in Pennsylvania. Only in Pennsylvania, $84 million, averaging $148,000 per victim. And experts are saying it's going to jump dramatically. According to another USA Today story, and this blew my mind, most child abuse victims don't come forward until they're 52, long after the statute of limitations has expired. And I understand that. I have known, have dealt with many victims of sexual abuse as a child, and they don't want to come forward because they feel responsible. Now, this is what really, really blows my mind. According to a Catholic expert, this is a Catholic expert, quote, using conservative estimates to extrapolate the number of abusive priests and victims in the U.S., there are between 100,000 and 200,000 clergy victims, clergy abuse victims in the U.S. alone. If that is focused on the world, there is anywhere, and again, this is a Catholic source, there are anywhere between 100,000 to 2 million Catholic priest abuse victims around the world. 100,000 to 2 million. It is estimated that there are probably 100,000 abusive priests worldwide currently. That's right now. That is the estimate. The crisis is far, far, far from over in the Catholic Church. And sadly and unfortunately, this Pope and his leadership has done very, very little to address this except to write papers and make excuses. That's why there are so many within the Catholic Church that are demanding that the church take this seriously, much more seriously than they have so far. We'll be back.